Does anyone got anything they wanna add to the service tonight before we get started? We're gonna be in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and we're gonna, and then chapter 4. One verse in chapter 2, and then we're gonna be in chapter 4 from verses number 6 through 12, no, through 14 or 15. But here today, you know, there is much said today about going home. There's much said today about with any church and going home. And that's not speaking, and we're not speaking of the physical home, the natural home that we have down here, but we're usually speaking about that heavenly home. And that heavenly home is a place that where these eyes is never seen, and these ears is never heard the commotion that's going on there in heaven. The only thing that we can go by is what the scripture says. But we know that things are going to be different there because he says so. It's not because I said so, not because of what you said so, or what some famous theologian out here said so. But it's by what the word of the living God says, that it's going to be a city there, and it's going to be changed. And we're going to be changed before we get in. And I know that there's a bunch that's gone on before us, a mess of them. That's the people's gone on before us. And we miss them here. I miss my grandmother. Yes, and I miss my mother. And I miss my stepfather. And I miss my brother. I have more over there to look forward to than what I have here. That I have more on the other side than I have left here. But still, even with that, and I think I mentioned it Sunday morning about, or maybe last Wednesday night, about him stepping out on the cloud. You know, I'm ready to go. And I don't have no problem with when he wants to take me. But what I do have a problem with is with the people that thinks that they can go on and live the life that they're living and thinking one day that they can come to him and accept him as their personal savior. The only way that an individual can ever get saved, they must be drawn by the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. And if they do not hear the preaching of God's Word, they will not hear from the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole lot of people out here is in that situation. And I believe they're the main one that's really hurting. They're hurting to the fact that they don't want to have anything to do with me. And they're hurting in the fact that they don't want to have anything to do with you. And I mean, we can include a family. If, you know, some people's got family. They don't want to have anything to do with us as Christians. Why? Because they know that what we're doing, they know if we don't speak to them and if we don't talk to them about going to church or talk to them about getting saved, they know that we're praying for them. And they know that who we're praying to for their salvation. And they also know the fact that they are not going to get us out of church. They have tried, no doubt. It's individuals here tonight, and it's not but seven here tonight. And if all seven of us would be honest with ourselves, somewhere down the line, our family has tried to get us not to go to church one night, or not to go to a revival one night, and not to serve the Lord for one day. And we must realize that. We know that we have gone up against the devil. We've gone up with the best that he has. But see, they don't know anything about our lives. They don't know anything about what is in our hearts. Only thing that they know is what we let them know. But a whole lot of times we want to speak out and say, well, I'm against that. I'm against this. I'm against that. And I'm against, if you don't believe in God, if you don't want to come to church, that's between you and God. I can't make you. Because if I can go out here and if I can talk someone into coming to church, and then if I can talk someone into coming to that altar, and if I can end up talking to somebody and confessing their sins to Jesus and asking him to save their soul, I've done nothing for that individual. Because they will not be here that long. They may be here a week. They may be here 2 weeks. But I honestly believe this. Like Peter and like Paul, the ones back then when they were in writing the Bible, their portions of the Word of God, that they knew what the Word of God said. And they knew that the only way that they would be able to make it through life, the life that they was living, that they had to accept Jesus Christ for who he is. That they didn't want to change their own life. Even Peter. Peter was caught, ain't no telling how many different times. Because Peter was a big mouth. I mean, he was a big mouth, and he just come up and just say anything. He would say anything to get people off of his back. You know it to be the case. And if the truth is known, we've all have done that one time or another. But we should not do it. We should not have to do it. We should live the life before the individual that where they can see Jesus Christ in our expression, in our smile. They can hear the Lord Jesus Christ that comes through our lips. And they can see that we're walking behind the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following him. And we won't get sidetracked one way or another. But so many people today, they're being sidetracked. They're being sidetracked by what? They're being sidetracked about this and that. And a whole lot of them want to get sidetracked. I'm not going to say it here, that you're one of them here. But I know some that's not here. And once they got sidetracked, they really got sidetracked to the point that they don't care anything about nobody. They don't care anything about the family. They don't care anything about the wife. They don't care anything about the children. But I know you're not that way. Why? Because I know, and I've heard you speak of your family, that you love your family with all your heart. I know that. But I want to tell you something else. Though maybe ain't nobody told you here lately. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he also knows that. He also knows who you love. He knows exactly who you're praying for. And first of all, the reason he knows who we pray for is because he has prayed for us before we even started praying to him. Because see, he just didn't save our soul. He just didn't open my chest up and take that old stony heart of mine out and place a heart of love in there. He just didn't do that for me. But he done it that I may be a help to other individuals. That I can be able to speak to people with love. And I can be able to talk to them about anything they want to talk about. And still come back to Jesus Christ. One of my pastors, I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but one of my pastors, he was here in Danville. I think it was for like probably 8, maybe 9 years or something like that. But he worked on heavy equipment. And anytime they, you know, I don't know if you know it or not, but individuals, the mechanics that work on heavy equipment is basically like you would say the category of a, and I know you've heard this expression, speaking about an individual that would say, man, she can act talk that, huh? A sailor overseas with all the fog that's coming out of her mouth. She is the best of them. And he witnessed to them. I mean, he let them know where he stood. When he prayed out loud. He didn't pray no, look, thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to receive. Give me strength through the day. No, he just prayed like he was talking to somebody else. He didn't pray out loud, shout it out. But the people around him heard him pray over his meal. But yet they were just taking the food, just pushing it down. But he was thanking the Lord. He told me that he has even given some mechanics his own lunch for the day. Because the wife did not fix him anything the night before. And did not fix him any lunch for that day. And my pastor at that time, he took his lunch box, and it ain't no telling what he had in it. Ain't no telling what Sister Ann put in it. I mean, you know. But he turned around. And knew that man won't eat. Knew that man didn't have nothing at all to eat or drink. Because he didn't have no money. Now, I don't know about you now. I can't go all day long without something to drink. And it'd be awful hard for me to go all day long like me even putting a little something to this belly that I got. But he did. He done it. And he'd go over to that individual. And he said, I see where you ain't eating today. I see where you ain't even drank the drink today. My pastor told me that he said, I've even pulled out a $10 bill and give him a $10 bill. The way he could go and purchase something the way he could have the next few days. And he would turn around after he'd give me $10 bill. He said, I took him my lunchbox and I handed him my lunchbox. And as he opened it, there was 3 sandwiches in there. There was some type of vegetable in there. But he said it was enough for him and anybody else who wanted some. So the individual that he gave it to said, you take what you want, Pastor. No. He says, I'll take 1 sandwich. You take the rest. People won't do that no more. Why? Because people don't care about other people anymore. People don't care anything about them. Why? Because they are on hard luck. They don't have no, they don't have no money. They don't have nobody that cares for them. They don't have anybody that they can talk to. Hey, do you know, have you ever known anybody that you ever worked with on a job that you seen somebody that could not speak to somebody else, that they could not talk to them? They just work all day long and we didn't take a break. They take a break in the break room and everything. And here they would be sitting there by themselves. Nobody else. Why? It's just not any churches today. It's in the workplaces also. And it's this one thing is called a clique. If you don't speak like me and the other individuals that I hang around with, if you don't speak like them, then something is wrong. No, something wrong with them. Because they don't have no love in the heart. But let me ask you something. Would you want anybody not speak to you all day? Not me. I could not, I don't think I could live with, I couldn't even live with myself. Because I would rather go to the individual knowing that I've never done nothing wrong to them. I haven't said nothing I'd away to them. I'd rather go to them and be the first individual to apologize to them for whatever I may have said. And I apologize so we can get back to talking. It's not but one or two words we can say. I'm sorry. Or I apologize. But we can't say them words. Just one little word. One little word. And I tell my wife all the time, hey lady, I haven't done it, but I knew that I need to get back to it. But me and my wife, one time, we'd be riding down the highway, and we'd be coming down to the church, down hill. And I'd be away on the passenger side, and I'd say, honey, I'm sorry. When I first said that, she looked at me. She says, now, what have you done that I don't know nothing about? What have you done that you have kept now? I mean, I called her off guard. I told her, I said, well, I mean, for right now, I haven't done anything. But I know it's another 8 or 10 hours I got to go through this day. And I'm liable to say something that may offend you. And I just want to try to get some on credit. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn ourselves. I am sorry. And if we do that, we done met and we done gone through half of the battle right there. But we see all that through completely through the book. Completely. All the way Genesis 1:1 to Revelation. It's all through the book. But what it speaks about is it's speaking about a four-letter word. Love. L. Loyalty to Him. To the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be loyal to Him. And that's putting Him first. Not putting my wife first, or my daughter first, or my mother first. Putting the Lord Jesus Christ first in my life. Lord, to who? See, if we're loyal to Him, we're going to also be loyal to the other people too. Why? Because see, what we confess to him, we not only just confess it to him, we confess it to ourselves also. And when we do, we have somebody else on our mind that we're confessing it about. Love, loyalty, zero, O, means obedient. Obedient to who? Am I supposed to be obedient to my wife? To what she tells me that I have to do during the day? Do I have to be obedient unto Christy, my daughter, through the day? And for what she tells me to do, I have got to obey her and I've got to do it. No. Obedient. I got to obey the Lord. I got to obey the Lord in every word that I say. I got to obey him. Why? Because he is the Lord of lords. And he is the King of kings. And he's all about salvation. He's all about heaven. He is all about love. Loyalty. And then, oh, obedient. Obey. You know, even here today, tonight, did you realize that we need to be loyal to each other? Not just loyal, we need to obey each other's decision. Now, if it's against God's word, then we're not supposed to obey that. But if God is in anywhere at all, and then we must obey in what you say because you understand it different than the way I understand it. See, that's the reason God says, back over, I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, or the book of Numbers, one or the other, speaking about the blood. He said, life is in the blood. Life is not in my blood. Life is not in what I breathe. Life is not in what I think. But life is in the true blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did it say in the book of Romans? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then also say over in the book of Romans 2. I think it's the same chapter. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. It's number two lies. The wages of death. What is the individual, what do they lose? An individual that does not accept him as a savior and ends up in hell. What do they lose? The most important thing that they lose is the sweet, sweet fellowship that they can have with the Son of God. And knowing that they one day they'll be there in heaven. It's not nothing that I've done. Because see, if he was looking down on what we've done as individuals, we would all be lost. We'd all be in the same phrase as the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift. That free gift. That's a free gift. We don't have to pay for it. We don't earn it. He freely gives it to us. Why? Because we asked him for it. But the ones that are, that's going to end up in hell with the wages of death, they'll work all their life to obey what Satan wanted them to do. Obey Satan all their life, doing what he says do. They think that he is it. They think that he is the number one in their life. Have you ever heard the phrase, a whole lot of people out here say, have you ever heard the phrase that some people will say that's lost and everything? Said, well, my friends, they're lost. So I'm not going to be alone when I go to hell. But I'm going to have some friends down there. He's not going to know who's down there. He's not going to know who the individual is right next to him. The only thing that he's going to know is the agony and the pain and the suffering that goes on there. And yes, and he will try to even commit suicide there in hell. Take his own life. But he can't do it. He can't do it. He can take a sword, if he had a sword down there, and he can take and he can ram that sword all through his body, all he wanted to, from head to bottom, all he wanted to. And he will still feel the pain and the agony of defeat. The wow. And you know something? He will even remember each and every word to a verse of scripture that we've told them. And they will be able to remember each and every word that they have sung in church. They will remember each and every word of the words in Victory in Jesus. They will remember every word about the amazing grace. Amazing grace of God. Once I could see, but now I can't see. I can't see nothing. Only thing I can do is I feel. I feel the pounding in my head of this song. Victory in Jesus. If I just believed in the amazing grace of God, then I could be back at home. I could be there in heaven singing Victory in Jesus. Hey, you know, I know sometimes we wonder about the songs that's going to be sung there in heaven. But, you know, there's several songs that I think would be in heaven. But you know, the angels in heaven, I mean, they know about something about the victory. Because they've seen it happen between them and the other angels that was there with them that has gone on now to be with Satan. They knew something about victory because they had the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that well, they obeyed God. And they also knew about his amazing grace. Also knew about Just As I Am. But there's one song I do not believe that they know anything about. And that's the song. This is me now. You may have another song. That's fine. But, you know, that's I do not believe that there is an angel in heaven. Even the 10,000 angels that they told Jesus, you just call upon 10,000 angels and you can come down from the cross. I don't think no one of your 10,000 angels ever knew anything at all about being redeemed. See, their life has not changed. See, my life has changed. My life has changed from the bad to the good. My life has really changed. Who did it change for? It changed for Jesus Christ. It changed for God the Father. It changed why? Behold, because the Holy Spirit of God brought the Word of God into my heart. And when it did that, then I accepted Jesus as my Savior. You know, we have to tell. We have to let people know in whom we're serving. We need to let people know in what church we go to. We need to let people know what's happening at the church. We need to let people know that how many we have at the church. No, we don't have to brag about that. Why not? I know some churches today is closed its doors. Don't you? We ain't closed our doors yet. Why? Because of you. And because of God. Why? Because we're still preaching. And I hope and pray that I'm still preaching the truth. I hope and pray that I always will stand on the King James Bible, the Word of the living God that settled there in heaven. And I'm not going to settle for no second class. If you're going to go anywhere, you need to go first class. And that's where I'm going first class. You know, some of them talks about the rocket and everything, going home, we're going to get in that old rocket and we're going to be toward heaven. But you know something? I don't think so. I don't think we're going to have to get in no rocket. We don't have to get in no spaceship to be able to go so high. And then we can see the third heavens. Why? Because the Word of God says this. Lo, you'll be with me. Why? What does that tell me? It tells me that the Son of God is stepping out on the cloud. And when he's stepping out on that cloud now, you have to remember one thing. That he has stepped out of heaven onto this one little cloud. That God has that for him. He steps on that cloud. As he steps on that cloud, Gabriel right there and he's I better go on and wet both of my lips now because here comes the Son of God and he just stepped on the cloud. I can imagine him just had a trumpet up here. Just wetting your lip. Kind of in a wet, kind of slobbering all over the end of that trumpet. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's still sitting. He's still standing there. He's still waiting to blow that trumpet. See, God hasn't given the orders. See, God gave Jesus Christ the orders the first time to leave heaven and go to earth and seek out Calvary and go all the way to the cross and die for the individuals that beats him, that spits upon him. That's who he died for. He died for people like that. And we was all like that. Oh, I didn't spit on him because he wasn't there in front of me. But I might as well had, because when somebody would invite me to church, I said, no, I can't go this Sunday. And I done heard more news that I can't be there this Sunday. Yes, I might be there the next Sunday. Or the next Sunday that I got time, I'll be there. The thing about it is that Sunday never shows up. But one of these days, that Sunday's going to show up. That Sunday's going to show up. And it's going to be knocking on thy door. And then, when it goes to the other side, Lord, I thank you for being with me. Because I've done so many things for you. I went out and touched people's lives. I went out and tried to help the individual that had nothing. I tried to do all of that to where one day, when I stand before you, I can say in my heart of hearts, that I was saved. Here, the danger of professing without faith. The danger of professing without faith. There's a whole lot of individuals that said in this order. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out demons, devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And the last verse here, 23. And then will I profess unto them. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's speaking himself to the individuals that's already told him about all of these things, which the Lord Jesus Christ was telling us what the people was telling him in that day. And then will I profess unto them, I never have seen you. I didn't see you do this and that. No. He says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart. Depart. Get out of this place. I don't want you nowhere around these people up here. Because I don't want any of your what you want to say. Maybe get off on some of the others that are still standing in line. No, you go on and you depart from me. You go on. And go on back. You're going to face hell. That's going to be the agony for the people. I mean, hell is real. Hell is real. You know, I was watching a program last night. And the reason I started watching it, because my wife was watching it first, but Then I started watching it. And it was speaking about the different cults I hear. And they were speaking last night about the Jehovah Witness. And basically and what they're all about. Some of the things it was sad to me to hear that. But there I hear looking to recruit people, not for salvation, not even recruiting them for the helper that they call the Holy Spirit. It's not that they are giving people kind words of love about Jehovah, that they serve the Jehovah Witness. They serve an individual there that's in somewhere, is in the United States somewhere. But they're serving him. And you know what they're serving him for? For all the young people that they can grab up. For all the people that's gullible to their belief, that they can get in. And then they'll take the young people and they'll use the young people as sex slaves. They'll use them for this and that and don't give a flying flip for none of them. Now, I think an individual like that, I think the individual that's over all of the Jehovah Witnesses, even the Jehovah Witnesses, there's one that's still there and the ones that don't want to come out. I believe when they get to hell, the ones that goes, and I know said last night, some has come out of the Jehovah Witness. And they've got saved. And they'll tell you that they've been born again by the Spirit of God. One lady on us said on the TV program, she said, "You know, I've never heard that in my life." And she looked like maybe she was in her 40s, maybe early 50s. She never heard anything at all about the Holy Spirit. Always been about the helper, the one that helps you. I mean, great day in the morning, that could be somebody up the street. That could be somebody over town come by and help me. But I'm speaking about the one that's there in heaven. He speaks to me. He helps me through my problems. He helps me through my disappointments. He helps me through day by day. And she said, when she heard them words that this individual spoke to her, that she needed to be born again. She said, "What's that, being born again?" He said, "You must be born of the Spirit of God. And you must be born of the Spirit of the water, the Holy Spirit." And says, "You can't work your way to heaven. It's nothing you can do. You can work from now to doomsday. And you can give all your wealth away to the poorest of all the poor out here. But when it comes right down to it, God's going to say, 'What you coming to me for now? And telling me all of this?' All that I can say to you is, I never hurt you. I never knew you. I tell you, people out here today are gullible. They're gullible. But we must tell them also that they think that they're having a good time, that everything that they do, that one of these days that they can be able to ask God to forgive them for it. And some may be, but not all. Because the Word of God does say that His Spirit, it doesn't say anything about my spirit. Doesn't say anything about your spirit. It says, my spirit will not always strive upon men. It will not always speak to individuals' hearts. It's saying the Holy Spirit will not always speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit will not always be there to help you. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And now, God, I ask you that you would take these people that you have. Father, I know that these people are really some of your choice servants. Because, Father, each one of them want to see something happen. Want to see where people can just come on in. And yes, as the Word of God being preached, the Holy Spirit can convict our heart. That they can come to an old-fashioned altar. And they can ask you to forgive them of their sin and to cleanse their soul with thy blood. And ask you to come into their heart. Father, I do not believe that that's one here tonight that does not want that. Father, because they love this church. That's the reason this church is still standing, is because of the love that they have towards you. And Father, still, Lord, I can't imagine not being a pastor here. Because, Father, I thank you for that. And, Father, and I thank the people for what confidence that they have in me. The Father, that they do not put all that much confidence in me, that they will put their confidence in you. And they will always pray for me and always ask you, Lord, to help me to do your work. Father, we thank you for the upcoming Jubilee. We thank you for the people that's going to be here. Some people don't even know that they're going to be here next week. Some people may say, well, I can't come because I may be working. But we know that the Holy Spirit can change all of that, to where they can be here at least here one night. Father, we're praying for somebody to be saved. Father, we're praying for somebody to where they're cold. They're cold-hearted. They don't know how to speak to people. They don't know how to love people individually. Father, we ask in Lord, that you will allow the Holy Spirit start right now, this Wednesday afternoon. The Wednesday before the Jubilee starts. Lord, that you will just allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he has to do, Father. Father, because we want to see people saved. We don't want to see nobody die and go to hell. I don't. I want to see everybody that comes in. I want to see them get filled. I want to see them be alive. Be alive and well in none other than God the Father. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the message that we're going to hear each and every night. And Lord, thank you tonight for speaking to my heart. Thank you, Lord, for just giving me the message tonight. I had no idea that I was going to even preach this. But I had it on my heart. But I had something else planned for tonight. But Lord, I'm just so thankful that I'm still following you. Go with these dear people to their respective homes tonight. As they get home, Father, that they can be able to just thank you and praise you for what they've heard tonight. Not because I said it, but because it comes from you. Lord, that we can all just shout the victory. We can all just say amen and praise God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God.